Hey guys, Lance Erlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any touches or any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And man, what a great series the Astros had against those Atlanta Braves. 6-1, 6-2, and 5-4, an extra inning yesterday.
Yeah, it just sounds just like a tennis score, like we got swept at Wimbledon.
Yeah, it really does sound like it.
6-1, 6-2, 6-4, moving on.
Only it was 5-4. They didn't finish the last set. It was over. Scored, they didn't finish it.
If they would have scored one more run, we could have had a clean
sweep. Yeah, a clean sweep of sets.
It's a sweep, but it's not what I call a tennis. It wasn't a tennis sweep.
Jose Abreu. If I hear about the back of his baseball card one more time, it's gross. Well, the back of his baseball card tells me that he's going to hit because he can hit. Well,
what does that mean? The back of your baseball card, the longer it is, the older you are, the less chance that you are still going to be an effective player. Yeah. I see a longer baseball
card. It just means
card.
He's got a history of hitting, but that's a while.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, that's like saying this guy's a former MVP about somebody. So, what is he now? I don't care what somebody did 3 years ago. Don't care, especially when they're old. I mean, God, we act like there's no depreciation, there's no regression of a player as they age. He's regressed.
It is what it is.
And, it's Ryan Pressly is clearly just mentally is not right now from a standpoint of confidence. Just not. And this is
Abreu just makes catches the ball.
I know Abreu defensively is not. He is, for all the little fussing about Yuli, at least Yuli fielded his position.
Yeah,
God, he fielded his position, and Abreu is not good. Pressly is not good. You did get 5 out of France. That's an Astros quality start.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't. You got 5 innings, a couple runs.
I'm
happy with that.
That's
how
not
about
bad.
Score some runs?
That's too. What I expect out of France. And you had a lead.
What do you mean? 5 innings and 2 runs? I'll take that every time out of France.
Oh,
out
yeah.
Of your fourth or fifth starter?
Yeah. Absolutely. No, 100%.
100%. I mean, that was another winnable game that they just can't come up with big hits when they have to. And this team is. I know it's starting to get to the point now. 6-14 is.
This is bad. Baseball.
This is bad. Yeah, it's not. It's even worse because it's bad. They're playing bad baseball. They're just. It's not time to throw in a towel just yet. Verlander's coming back tomorrow night, which is nice. Which pushes Ronel Blanco back, pushes Christian Javier back. Now you got. And oh, by the way, the schedule eases up considerably now. The first 20 games, set it before the season. First 20 games were going to be as difficult as anybody in baseball, and they sucked at it. They sucked. 6-14 is bad. It's just bad. And the discouraging part is they're not playing Astros. They just don't look like the Astros. They just don't. They just look like crap. Fielding, hitting, clutch. Home, they look like they're home because they suck at home. But that pitching, everything. They've just sucked. This has just been terrible, and that's discouraging. Why can't we have all three teams good at the same time? Why is that? Why can't we be excited about all three teams at the same time? It's amazing, but it just is. It never, ever, ever happens where all three teams are actually good and excited. I mean, this team is just so deflated.
Maybe
everything.
Jesus doesn't like the Houston as much as I thought. CJ's doing everything he can.
CJ, well, you think? Well, CJ's just praying for the Texans. He's not praying for. He's not praying for the Astros. Too.
Well, he says he's blessed. I mean,
well, he's blessed. He was blessed to throw out the first.
Well, can
pitch.
We catch some blessings for Hunter Brown?
Well, that I have never heard Hunter Brown say, "Praise Jesus," not once.
Curious cause and effect.
What's Jose Abreu said? Anything? Doesn't he have the triple crosses on his neck?
Yeah.
Let's live the life, Jose Abreu. Let's get some prayers in so we can hit over 150.
What does J.P. France have? He has the Constitution. Maybe being a good American would be better.
He did pitch pretty well yesterday.
He did. See? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe Jose Abreu.
I think we figured this thing out.
Right.
We just need to get Jack Easterby in there and get a little bit more prayed up. That could be.
How'd that work out for Texas A&M basketball?
Not great.
No.
The human jinx? Yeah. Not great.
No. That's so stupid. Why would you bring that guy on? What are you doing? Why are you bringing that guy into your program? That's just so dumb. So, it was another day like that.
Jonathan says, Jose Abreu has 4 hits and 3 errors on the season, but the back of the baseball card.
At some point, you just got to go, we can't do this. At some point, we can't do it anymore. There's about $40 million that's just going to sit there. About $40 million. But you're hurting the team more by putting them out there. You're hurting the team much more by putting them out there. So, and Joey Loperfido, probably not the answer. Not yet. Not until, he can cut down on the strikeouts and figure out whatever pitch it is that he can't hit, which major league pitchers will certainly take advantage of. This is as discouraged as we've been about the Houston Astros since 2016. This is the first time they're under 8 games under 500 since 2016.
Yeah, it's got a 2000 feel, but 16 was the last time with this this particular version of the Astros that we really felt this way. We felt this way in season at different times. I remember when it was kind of slipping away in 2017 before the Verlander trade. It was like, God, this is just falling apart on the Astros right now.
Yeah.
But this is just different, and it feels like there are players who we'll have some audio of Alex Bregman talking because it's the question is, what's the locker room going to be like? You keep losing heartbeat guys. Springer was one, but they seem to do fine there. Then Carlos Correa, he still won a championship. Now Machete. There's only so many core pieces of leadership that you lose before. And my whole concern with this year, the reason I wasn't very optimistic is because you've got a lame duck. Like this, the thing that makes this team good is that they also are close and that it's also they play for each other. And there's just a general sense of positivity. Alex Bregman's literally a lame duck player.
Yeah.
And he knows that this is not, the Astros don't want him they don't want to keep him long term based on what the market is. Kyle Tucker's got to know the same thing. At some point, players know that I'm not going to be here because this isn't how the Astros operate. And when's that going to have an effect on mindsets of players? I think it probably does at some point. I think it's definitely going to have a mindset on players. And we've got a video. This could be the end, but we'll see. The pitching, we know that they got to get arms back, and all this can change. But you don't want to get too far back.
No.
In this division, you just don't want to get too far back, especially if all of the pitchers don't come back just really humming. Because reality tells you that somebody's going to come back, and they're not going to be as good as you want them to be. But Javier, now, there's a small margin for error with Christian Javier now. Sorry, you're getting paid. You got to be a guy. We can't do this. Pitching coach, get his ass right. We got to have Javier be the guy. He's got to be one of the guys. He has to be. He's getting paid like it, relatively speaking, because he's early in his contract. He's got to be a guy because you don't have, right now you don't have Fromber. When you get Fromber back, Fromber needs to pitch well. But Hunter Brown, you simply can't depend on. That's as good as Hunter can probably go the other day. Ronel Blanco, maybe if Ronel Blanco has that Christian Javier year, where you say, man, didn't expect this, but where are the clutch hits?
Well, the season relies on Ronel Blanco every fifth day. That's what the season relies on because you can't get any wins from anybody else.
Yeah, no, you're trying to stay alive right now. You're just trying to keep your head above water at 6-14.
Yeah.
I mean, John, you got to go on an 8-game win streak to get to 500.
You got to win a couple in a row just to get to 33 percentage. I mean, this is bad. This sucks. This. I don't know what the hell. What the hell happened to our team ever since last September when they couldn't win at home? What the hell happened to our team? It's just it's ridiculous right now. Not coming up with a big hit. Errors at the least opportunity. The bullpen, it just sucks. And that's something that ain't going to change. It was good to see Josh Hader strike out three guys and get his ERA down to 10. That was good. That was nice.
Yeah.
So that, you know, but otherwise.
Yeah, Hader looked good. Oh, man, I'll take it. But you know what? You know what's going to suck is if you don't start putting yourself in position to get closes, what good is a high-paid closer if you're not in position to close? Like, one of the reasons they're there is to shut down games and win games.
He really hasn't had any opportunities.
No.
It's funny. None. Zero. You got Bregman. They realize it. It's probably good that they're going on the road. It's probably good, you know, going to Washington. And again,
it always is good to get out of the home stadium where you can't win.
Right. No, it's always better to get out of the home stadium. Listen, they need to, and Bregman said it, they need to play better in every facet. What? What? What's the problem?
I never said it was ready.
Well, why? It's ready. It's on the script. We've been talking about Bregman. We said
and
we set it up.
I said yes. You, I had it. I would have done this.
Oh, he's saving it for his show.
Oh my God!
I'm the one who found it and put it on the rundown. I would have said yes. I have it.
Well, what? It's on the rundown. But it's on.
Why
the
would
rundown.
You throw to it without me saying yes? It's ready to go.
It's on the rundown.
They're leading it. They're leading with it.
Oh, there's that
Mopey and Mape show.
He didn't want, yeah.
Yeah, he saved
it. He doesn't want it to be on our show. I get it. I got it.
I knew it.
So that's, okay. Well, you might hear from, listen, you're going to hear from Alex Bregman at 10 o'clock, at 10:03. At 10:03, you can hear from Alex Bregman, okay? It's not ready. It's on the rundown. How is it not ready?
Normally, when you go, do you have it? I would go, yes.
Okay. I tried to set it
up. And yet it's still not ready.
Okay. All right. I just was wondering. Will it be ready by 10? Do you think it might be ready by 10? Okay. No promises. Oh, my.
Did you see, by the way, Acuna hit us with the Eurostep from second to third on the home run?
Acuna, yeah.
Did you see it?
No, well, I saw the bat him throw
yeah,
the
bat.
Yeah,
he
did.
He had a little Eurostep.
His first home run, and he's Eurostepping it?
Yeah, he Eurostepped us.
Yeah, nice. Nice, Ronald Acuna. Your first home run. He's like, finally, I got a home. Stop, Ronald Acuna. So you ain't going to be the MVP this year. Oh, well. Oh, well, Ronald Acuna. Who cares about you and your team? Just beat it. We don't need you in our town anymore. We had basketball. No, you know why he's pissy today?
I hate that we're
a poor
team.
You know why he's pissy
now.
Today?
I know the Heat.
The Heat.
And Jimmy Butler lost his
Jimmy
life.
Jimmy Butler, MCL.
You guys assume a lot. Okay. I'm not. I don't react to everything like you do, where you come on down, hey, this sucks. My team isn't good right now.
Yeah.
That's you guys, not me.
Well, no, you're like, oh, the Heat. You know what? I'm just mailing it in tomorrow.
I didn't even mention
Heat lost. I don't care about anything.
Yeah, that's how
the Astros have a better winning percentage at home or on the road?
Will they have a better winning
percentage? Do they have a better percentage at
right
home or
now?
On the road? You've played 7 on the road. You played 13 at home. This is very advantageous.
Yeah, right.
And you're 6-14.
Yeah.
Better at home or on the road?
Or better on the road.
Nope.
They're better at home?
No. Yeah.
Winning percentage?
You're 2-5 on the road, and you're 4-9 at home.
Oh. Yeah, better.
You're slightly better at home.
Yeah.
This is a home team. This is their advantages at home. Right now, they're -23 from a run differential standpoint, in case you're wondering.
And that's only because they exploded for 10 runs one game.
Second, yeah, that's fourth worst in baseball.
Yeah, that's good.
What are we cheering for right now?
What are we doing?
Holy crap.
714 ESPN 97.
I can't believe I'm a poverty team again.
Yeah, you're a poverty team in baseball.
I have nothing to talk about in baseball. I'm still an elite in football, though.
Yeah.
With my team that won 10 games or, you know.
Yeah. And you got to.
I do act like my team got to the AFC Championship previously.
Yeah.
But my quarterback was Rookie of the Year. I've got Defensive Rookie of the Year. I've got D'Amico. I do feel like I'm one of the. I'm pretty elite.
You're a have.
In football.
You're a have. Not a have.
Yeah. I'm not a have not.
No, you're a
have. The rest of those poors, like. don't know, Titans. Yeah. But now we're the Titans of baseball?
We're awful. We're the Marlins.
Are we the Saints of baseball?
Are we worse than the Marlins? Are we worse than the Marlins right now? Look at their record.
Don't say that.
I mean,
and No. They're 4-15. We got a 300 win percent. They're 2-11. We're 300.
We ain't much better.
Ooh, there's two 2-11 teams, them and the Rockies. Ooh, there's a 167. Your team, the Sox. We're the fourth worst team in baseball right
now.
Yeah,
we're bad.
I mean, we're legitimately bad now.
No, we're awful.
We're a bad baseball team?
We're a bad baseball
team. How are we a bad baseball team?
It's amazing. Because we've made a lot of really, really questionable decisions.
Do you have the Bill O'Brien cut, Del?
Okay.
Because Bill O'Brien tried to tell us years ago, we'll hear from Bill O'Brien about the Astros. We'll hear about Bill O'Brien about the state of the Astros and the state of the Texans when we come back.
All right, but right now I'm talking about your property taxes, my property taxes. I know I let it go 1 year. Listen, the government is always going to jack up your appraisal. Always. They're always. So you think the government wants to charge you less on property taxes? Never. They're always going to the high end. And so that means that you're paying more in property tax. If you don't fight against the appraisal that the government gives you, then you are going to lose money. And that's why OwnWell is here for you. Property tax money, put that money back in your pocket in just minutes. There's no big time investment. It actually takes a couple, 3 minutes for you to sign up. They have all of the technology, and 86% of OwnWell's customers save on their property taxes, an average of $1,148. That's a lot of money in your pocket. Local experts backed by cutting edge technology. They know how to do this. You don't. Have you ever fought the government before and lost? Well, OwnWell, they don't lose too often, pal. They just don't. They get you that money back. 86%. That's a big rate. That is a big, big rate. And the government is just trying to screw you every time. Let OwnWell take care of that. Save money on your property taxes with OwnWell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and start your protest today at OwnWell.com. That's OwnWell.com.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
One thing I've learned since becoming a head coach of the Houston Texans is how lucky we are to play in front of such a passionate fan base. You know, I love the Astros. I love the Rockets. You know, I really do. I've been to games, and they're awesome. But we all know what it's about in Houston. And it's about the football team. It's about football. It's about the Texans, and we know that we need to do our part. The Astros are a great, great baseball team, and the Rockets are a great basketball team, and we need to do our part and represent the team in a championship way, and we're working hard to do that.
Well, O'Brien was right.
How are you?
This is just a football team, football city, I guess.
It is. No, it absolutely is.
I guess so. Have you ever done this before?
What?
This.
Let's throw up the H?
Yep.
Knowledge is power.
Have you ever done that?
No. No.
Who do people like more right now, Jim Crane or Cal McNair?
Oh, Cal's moved up.
I don't know if I want to be part of this world.
Cal has moved up the rating charts.
His key ratings by doing really nothing. Just staying out of
and
the way.
Some burgers.
Just going places, smiling, taking pictures, being friendly, just being Cal.
Yeah.
And just friendly guy. He's just friendly guy, right? He's not here to have a political discussion with you. Cal's not here to, you know, to jump in and discuss, you know, the inflationary process and whether or not we should do about Palestine and Israel. That's not going to be. There's no way he's talking about that.
Oh, no.
Talking about the intricacies of two shell coverages versus should they, you know, I think we need to get ourselves Cal just, no, we got football guys who do that. No. Cal's just here to hang out, to shoot the H up.
He's doing a world tour right now, too. You notice he went to Channel 11, he went to Channel 2, and it's sit-down conversations, he and Hannah. They're doing a world tour. This is his era's tour.
This is Cal. Wow. This is up there with Taylor Swift. This is really his era's tour.
How do you feel about the first family of football in Houston going around and not making an appearance at ABC 13?
I know. Well, I don't know why.
It's a victory lap right now.
And that's the team station.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you
maybe
why.
Something behind the scenes.
Well, I'll tell you why. Let's just follow the money. Who is the president and general manager of Channel 13?
Hmm. Wendy Granato.
Wendy Granato, yes.
Who is her husband?
I would assume John Granato.
What does her husband always do on the radio whenever Cal's name comes up?
Never did that. He just made that up.
Just literally heard it. Could you do that again so I can hear it and see if it's true? Yep, that sounds like John.
Well.
And now all of a sudden Channel 13 can't get theirs. Okay.
What happened?
It's the victory.
The home of the Texans can't get.
It's the victory lap tour, known as the Eras tour.
The victory lap tour.
As he's coasting like, what's up?
What's up?
Y'all want some of this? Ooh. Bang. Bang.
Bang it with the H's.
Yeah.
We have in-depth interviews about the process of counteracting the leak of the uniforms. Like, hey, we had this whole sit-down, and once the leaks came out, you know it was a bad picture, but we thought to ourselves, hey, Cal loves Reddit. Let him put it out there. That's where we're at, where we get the back and forth between the decision making as far as how do we counteract a leak of our uniforms, and everyone's eating up the Cal experience. Yeah.
It is. It's done a 180. It is the most amazing turnaround I've ever seen, from Deshaun Watson to that disaster to Easterby to the worst football
Jeff
to
Easterby.
No one in the
He's
stadium
a busy bee.
To no one in the stadium. To all of a sudden an Eras tour where he and Hannah are going they're on TV every night now. Every night doing interviews just talking about Super Bowls. And because you know what says Super Bowls? The Houston Texans.
And I know Cal's the rebrand is awesome, the mustache on the shirt. Oh. It's great, but all I hear when I see him is
let's see.
Now keep fronting on Cal. Right now, he's the one who is the curating's higher than Jim Crane's. Can't believe I'd see it a time. I mean, in 1 year, this has changed like this in 1 year, but it has.
Well, Jim Crane is the guy who brought us Montero, Abreu, Bagwell, this version of Bagwell, and now Biggio.
I didn't like his Eras tour where he was GM.
Yeah, no one likes that three-month tour. That three-month tour did not sell out. Or maybe, in some ways, it did sell out.
Well, it sold out. Yeah, that's for sure. No, the most amazing turnaround I think I've ever seen. When you see a Cal t-shirt with just the stash and his glasses and the stash.
He's got a logo. Cal's got his own logo.
It's eerily similar to J.P. Francis.
Some people are calling him iconic. So this is what there's some people calling Cal iconic.
Do you notice how similar it is to J.P. Francis?
Yeah, J.P.'s comes down a little bit more with intention. Cal's just a this is how it grows. I'm just kind of a bushy mustache guy. Yeah, J.P.'s has got a little bit of a downward. J.P.'s got some. JP's got some hipster mustache to him.
Yeah.
Cal's just throwing up Cal's just like, I've been this way. This is what I do.
Yeah, I'm not going to fully buy into the Cal, I do this, I've been here. I'm going to throw up the H until he goes to a black barbershop. He gets that mustache edged up a little bit.
You know what? I don't put that out. I could see Hannah listening to the show and saying, Cal, one of the guys made a really good point on the radio. You need to go to an African American. You need to go to an African American barbershop.
Get the white lines on his edge.
And
up.
They want to see you get lined
lines.
Up. They want to see you get lined up, and a taper fade. They want to. I don't know if we're going to do a high. You probably wouldn't look good with a high taper fade, so it'll be more of a low taper fade and get you tightened up across the top.
Hey, Cal, do you
thin out that stash?
Yeah,
thin it out.
Wispy. Let's get a wispy.
But thin it out, and you know. Get the straight lines there, edge it up and trim it, and then ask him if he wants the C-cups to stay or he wants, like you said, maybe a low taper fade, no C-cups.
What's that? What a C-cut? Wait, hold on. What's a C-cup?
C-cup when the sidebars of an edge up and then you – it's like a C-cup. Oh, you ain't
know. Oh, yeah. I didn't know there was a name for that.
I don't know about that life. Yeah.
Does he have any baby hair on here like all the WNBA players have baby hair?
I don't know if he has
on the side. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Is that like
Did they cut it I to feel make
like,
a baby
no,
hair?
No, no, no. I feel like having baby hair is a bit like a really good thing for a woman now. Like that's
Well, baby hair has always been a thing.
You want to have baby hair? Well, the girl from TLC had
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the baby.
The girl from TLC had baby hair.
Yeah,
she looked cute.
And then you,
she was my favorite TLC.
And you
girl.
Make sure they stick to not the forehead the crazy so they don't fly away. Yeah, down. Yeah. You talk about the aesthetic differences between the in the title game. You had the South Carolina girls.
Yeah,
and you had the Iowa girls.
Yeah, very different. Very different hair.
Hold on a second. Y'all are malicious accusery over here.
What?
They went to Channel 13. You just didn't see it.
Why? It's not out yet?
No, apparently it has been out.
Who did he talk to?
Probably Greg Bailey.
Okay.
I would imagine. I don't know.
Wow, learn your wife's station.
Do you
ever ask your wife how things went at work? Oh, we had Cal today. You would think that would come up.
I don't think.
Because he traverses in both of your worlds, and yet it never comes up because you're too busy hanging around, drinking with your friends, playing golf to ask Wendy, how was your day today?
He was already there. Let's see. Who was he with?
No one cares.
Oh, yeah. He was there.
What did he do? Did he talk about uniforms?
He is world
his
tour.
His rebranding?
This is the Eras tour.
It was with Greg Bailey.
He was
Thank
also
you.
On. He was
he
also
did the world tour.
He was also on 610
yeah.
and 790, yes.
Was he?
790?
He wasn't on 790.
You made that
we
up.
We don't know.
You don't know. I don't even know he was on Channel 13.
You should know that.
No, I'm not watching every second of
him. But okay. Lance makes a point.
Jim Crane doesn't.
I was watching women's basketball.
Hey, Wendy, how'd your day go? Oh, we had Callen and Hannah. They're very nice.
Oh,
that
cool.
Come up.
What did y'all talk about?
Them. I don't know. She didn't say anything about that, so she might not have met him.
You didn't ask.
No. Well, I'm
you
not.
You weren't home.
Hey, did you talk? Hey, did you meet Jim Crane today? Oh. How did you? Did Tillman stop by? No, I'm not asking her every day who stopped
Jim
by.
Jim Crane ain't doing an Eras tour right now.
No,
they're 6-14.
No, Jim Crane ain't. Jim Crane stayed.
They're 6-14.
Jim Crane's trying to stay out of the news.
He is without question the greatest owner we've had in Houston
ever,
and without question, right now he's the least popular. Yeah, people turn quick though, don't they?
Yeah,
but it also because he was. I think a lot of it has to do with what he's done in the front office. He got away from what works, and you went with.
Yeah.
Like, I know that the old school mentality used to be the fans love it when you just take heroes and legends from your team from years prior. That's not the same mentality anymore. People just like when they realize just because a legend or a Hall of Famer is in there doesn't mean they're going to be good. Their fans are much, much more intelligent. Yeah. How are Dolphins fans with Dan Marino being so all in? Well, what is his exact
he's not
role?
There anymore, is he?
Yeah, he's part of the organization. He'll show up and you'll see him in the locker room after wins, dapping up the guys. I'm not sure exactly what it does.
He's been in maybe owner's boxes or whatever.
He's part of the organization, but I don't think anyone thinks he has like real power. He's more of like he talks to the players if they
But wasn't he one of the ones supposedly that was involved with Tua over Justin Herbert?
I don't know about that, but it was
I saw that they were blaming him.
But earlier before the Chris Greer took over, he was up there with Tannenbaum and stuff, and maybe had a bigger role, but didn't realize.
And how did Dolphins
I don't really
want
to do
react.
This. Well, they blamed Tannenbaum because he was an ex-Jet. So that's how it worked. We've got exclusive audio. No thanks to John because he didn't let us know. Cal was asked by ABC 13's Greg Bailey about the stadium.
Okay.
And apparently that they're in discussions about what to do going forward with that.
Okay.
What about their home at NRG Stadium?
Well, we have 7 or 8 years left on the lease, and we're having active discussions with the county, with the rodeo as our partner, to figure out how best to move forward. I'll say failure is not an option. We're going to stay here. We're going to figure out how it works, and we want a win for all of us.
So are we having talks about a new stadium?
Wait. What failure is not an option. What's the problem?
Failure is that they don't
get... You think they're going to kick you out of your lease?
No, they don't get... public money and they leave.
No,
that's
he
failure.
Just said no. Yeah. Said, oh, yeah. That's not an option.
That's not an option.
But what's the? Why would that even be on the table? What are we talking about here?
Well, there's
seven or eight years. You gotta every 27 years. You gotta have a decision on a new stadium.
Well, yeah.
Are they gonna bust down NRG Stadium?
No, they gotta redo it.
Well, Tennessee built a new is building a new building. How long were they? How long have they been in Tennessee?
Yeah, was that a new stadium when it opened?
It's not a great stadium, but it's new. Knew it when they opened it.
Yeah, 96 maybe?
No, they built that after, remember, a couple years in different spots, and then they built a new stadium.
Well, they left. Oh, 94 is their last year, so 95, 96, probably 97-ish.
So, I mean, it's about. I guess it'd be about that time.
We can't be doing well.
Public, it's getting close. It's
the
getting
public,
close.
Well, the public isn't going to pay.
The roof doesn't even open.
We're already finding out. The public's not paying for. Well, they're not going to keep paying for new stuff.
If the Chiefs can't get one, I don't know how the Texans.
Yeah,
are,
that's not. Be careful. Be careful. And I know it's 7 or 8 years, so we'll see.
All right, we got to talk about Houston. Maybe they just need to powder coat the whole thing. I know they powder coated the picnic tables out there at NRG Stadium. Maybe they just need to powder coat the whole stadium, and that'll be the renovation. And Houston Powder Coaters can do it, okay? Houston Powder Coaters is proud to have been part of that. So many businesses have used Houston Powder Coaters. Houston Powder Coaters, probably the number one. I mean, you go to the Woodlands and you go to that area over there, that beautiful lake there, and it's all Houston Powder Coated over there. It's just amazing how good they are for business and for residential. You send Robin a picture of your patio furniture, and she'll tell you whether or not you should buy new stuff or she can fix it. Then they fix everything, hardware, straps, slings. Listen, you need, if you've got rusted out wheel kits or lift kits or bumpers or whatever it is, they're here for you. You want to keep whatever it is because, listen, that older stuff, that older metal is just better. You want to keep that because it's just better than anything that's produced today. Well, guess what? You do that with Houston Powder Coaters. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Free pickup and delivery every time. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. 281-676-3888. Tell Robin you heard it right here.
ESPN. 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 7:40. We're a little bit behind, but we got to do this. Did you hear about the Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick thing? So
yes.
ESPN dropped a bombshell yesterday that Kraft allegedly was a big part of why the Falcons passed on hiring Bill Belichick. Dan Wetzel did a big piece. In a conversation with Blank, Robert Kraft delivered a stark assessment of Belichick's character, according to a source who spoke to two people, a close Kraft friend, and a longtime Belichick confidant. The source quoted the Belichick source as saying, Robert called Arthur to warn him not to trust Bill. All right. It went on to say that Bill Belichick, apparently, you know, he wants to do things his own way. That That
checks out.
That he is he has a big ego. That he would have to restructure his organization to fit Bill Belichick as opposed to the other way around. Dan Wetzel wrote a piece for Yahoo Sports and said that, you know, that Robert Kraft should just thank Bill Belichick for what he did and not be telling. Now, if Blank and Kraft are good friends, shouldn't he give him his honest assessment?
Yes.
He should.
He should. I see both of those sides. Like, he's not in your organization anymore. Leave Brittany alone. But by the same token, if they are good friends and he asked for your opinion,
yep,
you might want to give him something. Maybe you don't. Yeah. Hey, if they're friends, like, if Dell said, hey, Lance, as a good, close personal friend, what is your thoughts on this? And I would tell him. I would be honest.
I would
with
never
Del.
Say that. But
so
sure.
You do that with your friends. You don't soft sell stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So if Dell asked me, you know, hey, listen, friend, and I said, I don't want to see anything bad happen to you. So this is what this is my thoughts.
Hey, listen, friend.
Hey, hello, friend.
Who starts a conversation like that?
I had a server. I had a server the other day at a restaurant. And everything was friend. So, hey, welcome in, friend. And it was, and I don't feel like
that?
She, I don't feel like she got it from Jim Nance.
No, I think
I just
felt
like that
there.
Was her thing. Like she just, at some point she said, my thing is going to be calling people friend. This is going to be my thing. And she did it throughout. Service was great. Food was great. Everything was terrific. But her thing was calling people friend. Mm-hmm. And so when my buddy Chris Solis got in, he was, hey, friend, can I, what do you want, friend? And she said, friend, somewhere in the 20s, like 22, 23 times. So it was clearly a thing she had been establishing. So, you know, when you're trying to make something hit, like, that's my thing. I want to be known for saying, calling people friend. I told you, there's a producer at NFL Network who started doing that too. And where are they getting this from? Because this producer I've known for years, and this is the first year he's referred to me and everyone else as friend. Is this a new thing? Is someone doing this that I don't, is this some trend? Is this a TikTok trend? Like, what, you call people friend? You just, hey, friend, I was wondering what that's going to be. My pronoun's not friend. My pronoun is Lance.
Okay, get back to this, what we were talking about for a
second. Oh, yeah. What were we talking about?
We were talking about Bill Belichick. And,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How did I get there? How did I get here?
No, we don't know.
Friend? Oh, if somebody's a friend, yeah.
So I just think, here's the thing. Is Robert Kraft did not have a good experience with Bill Belichick after the Tom Brady years. It has not been a good experience. The organization has slipped. You know, as much as Bill Belichick is revered and as great a coach as he is, but now Robert Kraft allegedly did say things about Bill Belichick. Oh, there is a. Have you seen the 10-part Dynasty? There's a series out about the Patriots run. Dell obviously hasn't watched it. He doesn't. He's not going to watch 10 parts on the.
No,
the New England Patriots.
I
don't think I am either. But apparently, allegedly, in it, Robert Kraft said something to the point of, well, Belichick really blew that Super Bowl against the Eagles by not playing Malcolm Butler, you know, and he blamed him. Of course, he didn't praise him for the time they did beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl when they had, you know, played tremendous defense.
Is this when Terrell Owens came back from a broken leg?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You beat broke leg Terrell.
Well, but you also play great defense.
So, you know what? You're still the owner. You're still the big boss. And I get a feeling that Bill Belichick was there and probably had a little bit of a God complex and just thought, I'm him. And, you know, what is this owner? What does Bob Kraft know about winning football? Yeah, it can be frustrating, but the owner's still the owner. Like, there's still a hierarchy, and my guess is Bill Belichick no longer had any interest in the hierarchy. It was his team. He didn't want to. He had wins under his belt. There's, you know, at some point he probably thought, I don't need to hear from you. You do owner stuff, and I do coach stuff. But that's not how. Eventually, when things start heading south, sorry, you're going to lose some
of
that.
If
leeway.
I'm the Falcons. Bill Belichick is 72 years old. What he's hunting is to be the winningest coach in NFL history. If I'm the Falcons, I'm not changing my entire organization.
No.
And apparently Arthur Blank went behind the scenes and asked all of his people in the front office, and they were all against hiring Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Of course, that means their jobs wouldn't be the same if Bill Belichick was on board. But this stuff about, and listen, Bill Belichick was a great coach. He hasn't been a great coach over the last 4 years. He has not been a great coach without Tom Brady. He just hasn't.
I was told
you can talk about... And he has been a great coach. Their defense won them Super Bowls. He did. They did. But without Tom Brady, you look at his record, he's not the same guy.
I asked somebody.
He doesn't have Tom Brady in Atlanta. And by the way, he's 72 years old. Do you want the Falcons to just change their entire organization for Bill Belichick for maybe 3 years just so he could win, have the most wins in NFL history?
No, this is about you're not even in a rebuild. You're in a build.
Yeah.
So
I want a young coach. I want to.
And supposedly, and this is accurate, I talked to somebody with the Falcons who just said, and I asked about it, and this person said, it's really simple. Because I thought that was getting pretty close. I thought Bill had that in there, and he said, it's pretty simple. Arthur Blank wants a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
He wants a collaborative effort in a building.
People say that's silly.
And you can't do collaborative.
Well, I heard that people say, well, that's silly. You got the best coach in NFL history.
No.
Why would you want a collaboration?
Because you don't want him to be a GM. He just put together some of the worst rosters.
Yeah, he did. He does.
Why you have collaborative means, yeah, we all listen. There's some input that we listen to. Do you know that, you know, in New England, scouts don't have any idea what the board looks like? Scouts don't know anything. These are your players, and you keep your mouth shut and you put your stuff in here. We don't need your evaluations. You know, you can write your evaluations, but you're a note taker, and you're not going to be like Marvin Allen got out of there and ended up going. He was at Kansas City for a while, and Marvin is the assistant GM now. But Marvin Allen was a guy who's the assistant GM with the Dolphins. He was there. Like everyone who goes there will tell you the same thing. You don't have two guys know everything, and everyone else is in the dark. Yep. That's a bad way to run things when a guy's running it. When he's, would you like it just to be Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell and no one else has any input?
No, I don't want that. I want to take a break here because we're way behind again. But I got to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com.
It's not on
GiveMeTheVin.com. You know what? It's on John Clay Wolf to give you more money for your vehicle. That's what John Clay Wolf does. That's what John Clay Wolf has been doing forever. John Clay Wolf, you're going to hear him on Saturday giving quotes over the phone. Who gives quotes of how much it will pay for a car over the phone by just hearing it for the first time? Dude is a car buying savant. He really is. He's built up a multi-billion-dollar business here. He's national now. He's on all of these radio stations throughout the country, and he's just flying through and just buying. Here, give me that car. Give me here. I'll give you this for it. And why do you think he's selling and buying and selling so many cars? It's because he pays more for them. So if you're somebody that is going to ever sell your car, you have to at least check with GiveMeTheVin.com. Go to GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN. 97.5. I know I can't afford to stop. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So I want to read this before the kids come.
What, the Antonio Brown quote?
No. I don't want to read that one. I don't want to read anything by Antonio Brown. You guys know that Trevor Bauer was, I think we mentioned it on the show yesterday, did we? Another accuser. One was found not credible. This one has been charged with basically extortion. She's got felony extortion charges where she tried to blackmail with Trevor Bauer with untrue accusations that he forced her to have an abortion. She was never pregnant. She claimed she had a miscarriage. Then she said she had an abortion. Then they showed that there was no signs of any abortion, no paper trail, no anything. Then she came back and said, oh, no, that's right. It was actually a miscarriage. And they checked the pregnancy test that she had actually showed that she was never pregnant. So she was just basically trying to get paid. And apparently she has done this to other athletes. Trevor Bauer, this is now the second one, the Trevor Bauer that has come up empty. Now, she filed hers after the other girls filed them. And she looks like this might just be a chronic bag chaser. I've got her name. It is Adana Esumanu, and she was one of most eligible Phoenicians. She lives in Phoenix, 2021. Let me read some of this is what she looks like, because I know that's important, John, for you.
Yeah,
to make some determinations. No. Okay, now here are some questions that she was asked in 2021, and here. Please describe your occupation. Now, I want you to see if any of these feel like an actual occupation. What is your occupation? Public figure, humanitarian, entrepreneur, pageant queen, spokesmodel, and actress. Which one of
sounds
those
like
you
she's
feel
working
like?
Hard.
Actress is an occupation.
You think is she actually? You, I didn't find her in IMDb. Did not find her in IMDb.
Is she a theater actress?
That doesn't really pay.
It does for some, the good ones.
Well, so was who's that? That
what like, has she been in? Let's look at her bio.
OnlyFans.
What?
I couldn't find anything that she had been in anything.
Okay, she's an actress.
I couldn't find anything that she had been.
Okay.
And a spokesmodel, and a pageant queen, and an entrepreneur.
Spokesmodel is a job.
And a humanitarian. Okay.
Humanitarian means you're just a good person.
Why did you
right?
go into that industry? Since childhood, this is where I feel for most humanity. At home. With being myself, a person of creativity, passion, impact, and expression. One of my blessings is people are very drawn to me as an individual, so my genuine personality takes me in many places career-wise and provides many life experiences. I'm grateful to God for always being my protector and my provider and giving me the tools tailored so that I can succeed, not blackmail. What made you want to be part of Miss Foothills Magazine's most... This is a very targeted, this is Miss Foothill Magazine's right. Most eligible Phoenicians. It's a unique experience to broadcast my current status of eligible and dating intentionally. I'm not looking for anything serious, just a sacred marriage with my best friend to horseplay and grow close to and merge families with. She's from Texas, by the way, originally.
One of your people.
Now see if you start to get the sense that she's dancing around everything. Would you describe yourself as more of an extrovert or introvert or a little of both? I'm 60-40 extrovert introvert. You have the weekend off. What are you doing? Well, I tend to find myself at home self-pampering, dwelling in my feminine, enjoying the domestic life. I reading, writing in my diary, cooking, guitar, CNBC, switching around my decor, you know, just moving stuff around.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she likes to do. On the flip side, I'm entertaining any random thought that comes to mind to go outside and play. This could be horseback riding, a sport. Which sport? I just go play a sport. I just go play a sport. Where's your place? Favorite place to be? Okay. What's your favorite movie? All movies. What kind of music is your favorite? My favorite kind of music is gospel, symphony, metal, country, Afrobeat, mellow folk, all music. What's your favorite food? My favorite food is all food. However, my favorite go-to is seafood and vegetables or spicy egusi soup. So my favorite restaurant is the place that has quality selection of soups out. And stop saying all food.
No. She doesn't want to offend foods or music or movies.
If you were
movies,
to take another...
She's not going to offend movies.
Excuse me.
No.
As Lance is going through her resume, bio, whatever you want to call it, I sense delusion. We know about her trying.
That's right. You sense correctly, Dale. You've got a sixth sense to you, sir.
No, it's because I'm very experienced in this form of
poetry.
Some
people like poetry. I study hoetry.
Well, whoa.
Wow.
I was going to make an apt comparison to you. You're a bit delusional about what you can and can't accomplish.
No, that's not true.
You've tried to commit fraud before.
How?
Eyelids for kids, and
that's a schedule. That's an actual 501c or whatever they are, 509s.
Yeah.
I would say you are most similar to this woman if we're using this show.
I gave that money back, though.
Okay. I'm sure she would say something similar,
I didn't try to blackmail, like, Lance McCullers or something.
Just the listeners.
You want to know something interesting about her?
Sure.
Tell me if you think there's a 1% chance that this is accurate. Tell us something many people may not know about you. Sometimes my dreams are in different languages.
You talk about a superpower of being able to...
Use a lie.
Being able to predict you're going to get to a place on time.
My dreams are in different languages.
What languages? All of them.
Maybe
all of them.
Do you know if she speaks multiple languages?
We don't know. You don't know that.
You don't know. You don't know that, Lance. You're laughing, but you don't know.
Yeah, maybe she
speaks bilingual.
Ton of languages.
She speaks all languages, Del. She's not going to offend any of them.
She's not going to, She likes all food, movies, except
all music,
I like this very specific
all foods
soup.
And all languages.
All you got to do is know a couple, and you can sell the lie that you dream in different languages.
So she was one of them that accused Trevor.
Yeah, she tried to get him for three. And there's emails that he put that they were able to get this in disclosure and discovery rather. The email originally from a lawyer. So one lawyer said, after the information we have, you're going to need to find somebody who's okay with all this intel because we can't represent you anymore. She went to another one, and this other lawyer said, okay, so we're going to go for $3.6
million,
but then we'll negotiate, and the lowest we're going to settle for is $760,000. And then they found out more information. They went, sorry, we can't represent you anymore. It just doesn't look like you have any chance of winning the case because she had some kind of answering machine message, emails, the stuff where she was trying to hook them before, where she was bragging about the night before that they had. Just, it's poetry.
Removing the lying, the trying to blackmail, and the alleged assaults that she's saying Trevor Bauer did. Could we suggest that Trevor Bauer is a bad decision maker when it comes to
women? Without question.
I don't know what he's guilty of. I do know that, though.
He's a bad decision maker.
He's having one-night stands like a lot of those guys probably, but something has happened. Look, there were four. Two of them have been found. Are we at a point where now where Trevor Bauer needs to be allowed
really.
Back?
There are other accusations, though,
yeah,
that are more
dating
credible.
Back to...
There are more that are
and
more
also
credible.
He stinks.
But are there charges?
He's also... Well, he's been charged
for... Right now he's being blackballed. I think we can...
And the other thing is...
Blackballed and black.
I know what question you're getting to. He's been... He stunk in Mexico. He's not pitching well either.
Yeah. He was in Japan and he was last in Mexico.
He's pitching now in Mexico.
Against the Yankees in the preseason?
And people were lauding that as a success. Then he pitched in Mexico recently and he stunk. Well, he's active right now in Mexico pitching.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want him on the team. If that's what you're getting at. No, we can pass. And I don't know, we got to ask Jeff Bagwell. We can't be having you.
What does the back of his baseball card say?
Yeah, the back of his baseball card says he's pretty good. But it's been a while now. It's been a minute since he's been pretty good. So we're done. We're done with that. We've already got enough guys that we're good and not aren't any good anymore. We're good on that. Right now we got Chastang Ford, who's been good forever, been good for over 80 years in this city, and just continues to be great. You will join the Chastang family when you buy a vehicle from Chastang Ford. You get the service. They are on top of everything, okay? First of all, the experience is awesome as opposed to other dealerships. There's no high pressure. There is, and all dealerships say this, right? Oh, and we're going to work hard in service and blah, 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 blah. But then you get down to signing at the other dealerships, and it's like, wow, this is not what we first decided on. It's like $3,000 or $4,000 more than that. What happened there? Or more. They want to add on. They're trying to mark up. They're not giving you all the rebates they possibly could. They're taking them and keeping them for themselves. I mean, it's a bad scene at other places. It really is. At Chastang Ford, it couldn't be easier. It couldn't be better. They're not going to add on. They're not going to mark up. They're going to get you at the prices at the monthly that you have to be at. It's just the best. I've had my best experiences in buying a car at Chastang Ford, and you will too. ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5.